Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we take your questions from throughout the United States and Canada. Monday through Friday at this time, you can get your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Well, I finally hold in my hand something that I'm very excited to put into your hands. It's titled, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy. There are many stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy. There is only one enduring superstar. Little wonder, then, that prophecies concerning him outnumber all others. Jesus Christ, the superstar of biblical prophecy, the booklet that I want to put into your hands, takes the ancestry of Jesus Christ, his birth in Bethlehem, his crucifixion amongst criminals, the fact that he was destined to come at a particular time in human history, that date narrowly defined within the parameters of time, the fact that he was to be an extraordinary worker of miracles, the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Only Jesus Christ could emerge through the doorway of biblical prophecy. Had Jesus been a Benjamite or a Levite, he would have immediately been exposed as a fraud. Had Jesus not been of the house and lineage of David, his antagonists would have been keenly aware that his ancestry did not match that of Messiah. Considering that they had done everything in their power to undermine Jesus Christ, the obvious would not have gone unchallenged. Instead, as predicted by the Old Testament prophets, the seed of the woman would be a descendant of Abraham, not Lot. The line would proceed through Isaac, not Ishmael, through Jacob, not Esau, and the fourth of Jacob's sons, not the first. He would be the legal heir of David, the long-awaited king of the Jews who would ultimately restore true Israel from their exile and sin. One thing is certain. Jesus had to be a Jew, and not just any Jew. He had to be the Jewish descendant of Israel's quintessential king, through Jesse, by way of Judah, in the lineage of Jacob. God sovereignly directed the course of human history, from the woman Eve, who was deceived, to the woman Mary, who conceived a son who alone could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And there's much, much more. Over the next few days, I want to talk about the portrait of Jesus Christ etched in Old Testament prophecies. And all of this is recorded in this new booklet. And I don't want you to miss the fact that this booklet has been designed to be memorable. I don't just want you to read. I want you to remember, to be able to recall, so that you can communicate that Jesus Christ is indeed the superstar of biblical prophecy. If you master this content, and it's quite easy to do, in fact, just last night, I was at dinner with my wife and several other people, and I went through this verbally so that they could recall the information, and in a few moments they did. You could do the same. Why the booklet? Because I want you to be equipped. People are going to ask you questions, particularly in light of false prophets. The Jack Van Impies, the Harold Campings of this world, who are date setters, though they deny that they're date setters, they are date setters. In fact, they have specified specific, particular dates in which Jesus Christ will return. I want you to be able to use the deviation of these false prophets as opportunities to communicate truth so that people might be changed, regenerated, so that they might truly believe. Again, the booklet, Jesus the Superstar, a Biblical Prophecy, is available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We prepared it for you, and we'll send it to you for your gift to the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute so that we might be equipped, empowered, enabled to continue changing lives, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. You can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, when you speak with our resource consultants, 888-7000, CRI. First up is Larry, listening on Bot Radio, Trenton, Missouri. Hi, Larry.
Hello. I appreciate your radio ministry, and well, I'd like to ask how does one know 100% that they're elect and going to heaven? Because when I go, I want to be with Jesus. And the reason why I'm asking that is because when I read the Bible, I don't understand a lot of it. And I remember Jesus said that he don't let some people understand it because they're not going to heaven.
Well, here's the issue. There's only one elect one. That elect one is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
If you look at Galatians chapter 3, Paul there makes explicit that Abraham only had one seed, not seeds plural, but seed singular. And thus, if you are in Jesus Christ, the royal seed of Abraham, then you are an elect one, because you are in the elect one. And that doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what station in life you have. If you are in the elect one, by virtue of that, you are elect. To know that you are in the elect one, you simply know this: you're a sinner. You repent of your sin. You've received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then, based on His promise, not your feelings, but based on His promise, you have everlasting life.
So when I read the Bible, and if I don't understand some of it, that don't mean I'm going to hell, right?
No. In fact, the only people that go to hell are people that do not want a relationship with the Lord.
Oh, okay.
As long as you want a relationship with the Lord will never turn you away. And let me say this, it's not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. And you obviously, very clearly in terms of the question you're asking and the way you're posing the question, do not despise knowledge. You want the knowledge of the truth. And the central message of the Bible is plain and simple. Sure, on the one hand, the Bible is so deep, a theologian can drown in it. On the other hand, it's a simple message. I realize I'm a sinner, I repent of my sin, and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And now I'm covered, not by my own self-righteousness, but rather by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, I stand before God without blame, without sin, because I'm covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner, but I'm covered by the righteousness of the Savior.
Well, I'll tell you what, that cleared up a whole lot, because when I read, before I read the Bible, I always pray that God would give me wisdom, you know, His wisdom.
Well, keep reading the Bible. Keep learning. It's a progressive path, which is to say you learn little by little by little. The more I learn, the more I realize how little I know and the scope of what can be known, but I'm continuing to learn, and so can you. And we're on different places of the path, but that does not mean we can't proceed with vigor in rigorous joy that God has given us an opportunity to know Him not only in time, but also for all eternity.
I sure appreciate that, Hank, and you stay blessed, and I'll keep your ministry in my prayers, okay?
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Want to go from Larry to Lou. He's listening WVCH in Middletown, Delaware. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Hank. God bless you, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
Good. Hey, I just had a real quick question, and I just want to just clarify this. I was given your book by a friend of mine, and I was looking on page one of the questions, 149. How old will we be when we go to heaven? This is your book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, and in it, you said that basically, you know, if young children die, that when they, you know, when they're resurrected, or yeah, when they're resurrected, basically they're going to be at a prime age. And just, I'm paraphrasing because it's kind of lengthy.
Yeah,
I don't want to take up too much time. But then my question is in the very next question, question 150, it says, you know, what the question is, will there be animals in heaven? And then you quote Isaiah, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, calf, and lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. My question was, if we're going to be resurrected at a prime age, like 30 or in our 30s, where will the little child come from?
Well, again, that's metaphorical language.
Okay, that's
and that metaphorical language is intended to communicate that in heaven there'll be no sin, no death, no destruction, no decay. In heaven, all things will be perfect. So it's metaphorical language. And the basic idea is that paradise lost will become paradise restored. As a result of that, all of the pain, all of the tears, all of the crying will be wiped away. In fact, the book of Revelation says God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. So paradise lost becoming paradise restored. In paradise lost, there were animals. So one could presume there would be animals in paradise restored. Secondly, we are making a theological deduction and giving an illustration of the pattern of your life. The pattern for your life, or the blueprint for your body, is found in the DNA. The DNA that you have now has developed within a cursed creation, but then will develop within a creation in which there's no more sin, and thus it can develop to complete perfection and never experience devolution. So it's like a flower that comes out in full bloom but never ceases to be in full bloom. And that becomes a pattern or a picture of what our resurrection bodies will be when they're raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Gotcha. This was just a little bit of kind of stuck with me for a long time because my wife and I, several years ago, we lost our youngest son to sudden infant death syndrome. And this is always, we buried him several years ago. And this has always been something that I kind of wrestle with. And my pastor, he actually stands right alongside with you in this belief. And I just, the Bible says to, the Bereans, that they went straight to the scriptures to make sure that these things were so.
And that's exactly why I love your call so much. That's the one thing we want people to do. We want to test all things, hold fast to that which is good. We don't want to have vain hope. We want to have a hope that's realized in the truth of Scripture. So God bless you for testing all things. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to equip you to think Christianly. Not only do we provide books, videos, and well-researched articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, and follow our blog or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All of this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Hank Hanegraaff has put together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal into three books designed to equip you with a Christian worldview and help you become an effective witness. The book entitled What is Truth teaches you to counter the sweet poison of relativism that seeks to destroy truth and the people of the God of truth, whose ethics, whose morals weighs the trend of moral relativism and the notion that right and wrong are simply a matter of opinion. And Islam, What You Must Know, not only presents a true picture of Muslims in our community, but also ways to reach them for Christ. Order What is Truth, Whose Ethics, Whose Morals, and Islam, What You Must Know for a special package price by contacting the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can order this package online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Learn to have a real relationship with the lover of your soul with Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus. Available on audio CD or in paperback with study guide as a thank you for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you visit us on the web at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.
Thank you. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is, in fact, the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven salient and memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. In appreciation of your generosity and prayers this month, we'd like to send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that Jesus Christ alone could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Donate to the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going to equip.org. Let's get back now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to mention, in addition to what you just said, that the prophecies are given to you, the roadmap, as it were, given to you in a memorable format, so you can remember the prophecies regarding Jesus Christ made in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New, as A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And again, as you read through the booklet, you'll find out how easy it is to keep that information in your mind so that you can use it to make a difference while there is yet time. Again, the booklet, available for your gift to the ministry, order online at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike next, listening on the web in California. Hi, Mike.
How you doing today, Hank?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, I have a question for you. I listen to normally I listen to your broadcast via podcast because I'm a truck driver, and it just gives me something to listen to when I have no reception in bad areas. But I heard you recently, it was in a February broadcast, you were talking to a gentleman, excuse me, about predestination and free will, and you would use the phrase fatalistically determined, and then if I remember correctly, you would said that, you know, that was the way he believed that we were fatalistically determined, and that if by believing that he would assume that God is the author of evil?
Yeah, a couple of ways of going about that. First of all, if you're talking about fatalistic determinism, that's part of the philosophical naturalist paradigm, which is to say that if Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, then her choices are not free, they're fatalistically determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics. From the standpoint of theistic fatalism or theological fatalism, there's the notion that is oftentimes communicated with the analogy of Macbeth. Macbeth murders King Duncan. Shakespeare fully 100% caused Duncan's death because Shakespeare authored Macbeth. And therefore, the analogy is made that God is the author of evil, even though we as agents carry out that evil and as such are morally culpable for the evil that we do. So that's the argument that is sometimes made for theistic fatalism or theological fatalism, the end of which is that the future, especially the destination of individuals, is fixed. So a theistic fatalist believes that a personal God unconditionally determines where individuals will go when they die, whether that be to heaven or hell. Now, there's the other position that can be held, which is a position that I hold, and that is the position that God is not the author of evil, that God created the potential for evil by granting us the freedom of choice, without which love would be rendered meaningless. And as a result of that, humans ended up actualizing the potential for evil. So God creates the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice, humans actualize that evil.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I'm right there with you on that one. And a good friend of mine, the reason I'm ultimately calling is a good friend of mine, and I understand that this is not something that, you know, we divide over. It's something we can debate, you know, as you say on your broadcast all the time, and we don't have to divide over it. But he wants to get together with me and have a conversation about it, just to, you know, just to talk it out and see where we stand about it. And I just kind of was hoping just for a little clarification and about that subject, and I appreciate that. And if I could, real fast, I just wanted to share a little testimony with you. I started listening to your broadcast in August of last year, and at the time I was out of work, and I was actually out of work for nearly 2 years. I just started a brand new job about 5 weeks ago, and I just want to encourage anybody listening and anybody that listens to this program regularly, even if it's just a little bit, the money that people give to your program and your broadcast and your institute is so it's used so well, and I just cannot express how much your ministry has helped me just in, you know, 6 months of listening to it. It's been just an enormous blessing, and I just really want to thank you so much for your ministry, Hank.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. I can't imagine how much I'm touched by your comments. God bless you, my friend.
You too. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the help.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Bryce, listening on Bot Radio in Tyler, Texas, next. Hi, Bryce.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good.
I had two quick questions. One was about the movie Zeitgeist, part one of three, the religion part.
Uh-huh.
And the other question was, is there a book that is related to, I guess you could say, kind of a modern-day Bible?
A book related to a modern-day Bible. What do you mean by that?
As in where we are now from biblical terms?
You mean prophecy-wise?
Not necessarily prophecy-wise. Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Well, you know, from a biblical perspective, there's no answer to that question whatsoever. The Bible doesn't give us even a clue, a hint, nothing at all in terms of when Jesus Christ will return. The only thing we know is that he will appear a second time. But there is no timetable, and as I said, not even a hint of a timetable given to us. So we simply do not know. By the way, I've articulated that in Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, so that you can understand why I say that. Because there are a lot of people who suggest that there are hints, but unfortunately they're taking passages that are related to one epoch of time and applying them to the end times, as they term it. And as a result of that, they're confusing a biblical passage and its meaning with some kind of a clue or hint as to when the Lord will return. We have no hint or clue. The only thing we know for certain is that he promised he would return. And because his promises have never failed, we can assume correctly and definitively that they're not going to fail in the future.
Yes, sir.
As far as Zeitgeist the movie is concerned,
yes.
Well, it's interesting. Zeitgeist means spirit of the times. And the movie itself has a thesis, and a few powerful individuals is the thesis of the movie, that they're perpetrating myths about religion and about war and money in order to control the masses. So this is a huge conspiracy theory. All religions are rooted in astral religions, they say. The Jesus of Christianity is a mythical solar deity. The Bible is just borrowed from pagan religions. There's nothing truly new or unique in Christianity. So Zeitgeist, the movie, is based on a conspiracy theory. Unfortunately, it is not rooted in any kind of evidence. It's devoid of evidence, and this is exactly the opposite of what the Bible really gives us. It's not rooted in pagan mystery religions. It's rooted in empirically verifiable evidence and history. It's historic and evidential, and that's why Christians are never called to blind faith, but rather to faith in irrefutable fact.
Yes, sir. And as far as that book stands as itself in that category, is there a reference point that I could read and use that to argue against that? Because that seems to be a big hit on the internet and other places where people say, well, I've talked to Christians, they don't have an answer for it, and that's because obviously they're not prepared to give an answer.
Well, we do have an answer for it, and that answer is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, so you can get that information. It may be online at equip.org, or just hang on. Okay. That way I can be certain to put it into your hands.
Yeah, great. I'd appreciate that. All right, thank you.
You got it.
Bye.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jim. He's listening on KTFG in Iowa. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Hey, I want to thank you so much for taking my call, Hank.
My pleasure.
Big question for you. Thank you. I've got a friend that he's a Jehovah's Witness, and I've been a Christian all my life. And he's busy showing me scripture after scripture, multitude of scriptures, and giving me dates of 1912 and telling me how that the first Jehovah Witness was Jesus Christ himself. And they have a very good history of studying the scriptures and using the scriptures to address their religion, if you will. And I guess basically, Hank, what I'm trying to find out is, what is the basic difference between Jehovah's Witness and Christian?
Yeah, first of all, let me say that they don't use the biblical text. They abuse the biblical text.
Okay.
And in doing so, they make Jesus Christ a creation of God. God creates Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And again, to get other things, what they do is they actually insert the word other four times in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. So that he is not the creator of all things, he's the creator of all other things. And again, they insert that word intentionally four times to make Jesus Christ other than who he is, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Their basic view is that Jesus Christ is the Archangel Michael. During his earthly sojourn, he was merely human. And after he died, he was resurrected or recreated better, an immaterial spirit creature. Now, the Christian view is far different than that. He is not the Archangel Michael. In fact, he is God in human flesh, and therefore, he demands worship, where an angel turns away worship. Do not worship me, the angel who was showing John the Revelation said, but worship God. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Worship God. Worship is to be established for God alone. During his earthly sojourn, Jesus Christ did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. He simply took on the limitations of humanity. And today he is forever in flesh. He is forever Theanthropus, the God-man. So the idea that he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature is simply wrong. He was resurrected, and the resurrection is the central event in Christianity, which is the hope of the believer that we too will be physically resurrected. So Christianity is not platonic. It's very physical, much different than the belief system of the Jehovah's Witnesses. We've written about this in various forms. Check it out at equip.org.
Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you'll be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274.
Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled, Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The study of human nature is one of perennial interest, raising many questions that are important to a Christian worldview. The contemporary movement of transhumanism views human nature as totally free, even to the altering of its very essence. Sociobiologists, on the other hand, hold that human behavior is determined and free will is an illusion. To a society torn between two extremes, the Bible offers a sensible corrective that affirms real freedom within real limits. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and learn more in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism, A Christian View of Human Nature. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast now with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just another word on the Alaska cruise. To register online, just go to the ship and click on it and join us for an adventure of a lifetime. We're actually going to be in one of the most beautiful spots on the planet. But while we're there, we're going to be learning together. And we're going to be dealing with the issue of origins. I've often said how one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him, not only in time, but also for eternity. So we're going to deal with the paradigms that are given for origins, the evolutionary paradigm or philosophical naturalism, which supposes that nothing created everything. The Christian paradigm, which is rooted in history and evidence. Why do we believe what we believe? It is not only because of Scripture, although it is predominantly because of Scripture, it is also because God's book of nature demonstrates that what is in Scripture is in fact true. So we believe what we believe through both special and general revelation. We'll be taking your questions and having a ball on the Alaska cruise. If you haven't signed up, still have a last moment opportunity to do that. Again, best way to do it is go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, click on the ship. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, and they give you the numbers to register for the cruise of a lifetime. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lance. He's listening on Bot Radio in Shawnee, Kansas. Hi, Lance.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you taking my call today. I love listening to your program. I got a question on Exodus 3:18. It says in there that God told Moses to go tell the Pharaoh to let his people travel a 3 days' journey to out into the wilderness to worship him. Why would God have Moses lie when that's a big principle of his of not to do?
Well, first of all, this may sound like a matter of semantics. There's a difference between lying and not telling the truth. And certainly in situations, the greater good principle mandates that we do not tell the truth.
Okay.
Under certain circumstances, not telling the truth is not only morally permissible, but morally mandated. So the Bible never condones lying for the sake of lying, but it does condone lying in order to preserve a higher moral imperative. To put it in really concrete terms so you can really grasp the principle, remember Rahab. She purposed to deceive in order to preserve the lives of two Jewish spies, which was the higher moral law. And you can think about this as a Christian father or a Christian brother. Today, you would not hesitate to lie in this sense in order to protect your wife or your daughters or your sister from the imminent threat of rape or murder. So again, there's a difference between lying and not telling the truth. In the case of a lie, there's an unjustified discrepancy between what you believe and what you say. And in that sense, lying is always wrong. But not telling the truth in order to preserve a higher moral law may well be the right thing to do, and thus is not actually lying or is not actually a lie. And that principle applies to Exodus chapter 3 here in the verse that you're talking about, I think verse 18.
It just really struck me odd that God would want to do that. It's the only place I've ever seen in the Bible that he has told someone basically to lie. So that's the only reason why I had that question.
In just war theory, too, we do it all the time, right? The enemy does not deserve the truth. Hitler didn't deserve the truth. And therefore, we would purpose to deceive Hitler so that when we invaded on the beaches of Normandy, we would be going stealthily under the cover of night as opposed to blowing the trumpets and saying, here's what we're going to do and here's exactly when we're going to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I understand that. So, okay. Well, I definitely appreciate your time. I love all the insights you give me. I listen to your program every day. So,
well, you're kind.
I appreciate your time, Hank.
Thank you, Lance. I appreciate your kind comments as well. So many people listening into the Bible Answer Man broadcast will hear these kind comments saying this ministry is so necessary and so impactful and making such a difference. And yet, truthfully, we depend on you to continue on with the ministry that we have.
And for the first 4 months of this year, we've been deficit spending. In other words, we've been taking in less money than what we're paying out for radio bills and the like. So we need your help. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, we can continue at the same pace that we're continuing on in terms of touching lives for time and for eternity. If you don't, we can't. It's as simple as that. And so we ask you to give prayerfully, not giving to get. We don't want to manipulate you in any sense, simply because you believe the truth matters. You want to be part of a team making a difference in the lives of real people for time and for eternity. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ken. He's listening on the web in Louisiana. Hi, Ken.
How you doing, Mr. Handelgraff?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. I experienced just what you said this Sunday at a church service, which I have attended for the past 3 years. I applied Acts 17, 1 Peter 3:15 to give the answer. And I went to my pastor after the meeting and asked him why was he not preaching or teaching essential Christian doctrine. And his answer was that he was not led of the Lord to do so, which the red flag went up in my spirit. Like I told you, Acts 17, Matthew 24, so many scriptures popped up in me. And I told him I could no longer attend his church because it was not in accordance to the scriptures. And I am amazed, Brother Handelgraff, that the biblical illiteracy and lack of spiritual discernment in the body of Christ, which I experienced on this Sunday. And I would like you to address that. Also, several years ago, you had which was called the Biblical Foundations course, which is no longer offered, but it is desperately needed. And I'm asking you if the Lord is leading you in a not-too-distant future to come up with some kind of course, because the body of Christ definitely needs essential Christian doctrine to grow.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question. And yes, I think that we want to underscore the reality that essential Christian doctrine is the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. These are the doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. And I felt passionate about this because my sense is the same as what you just communicated. Most people don't stand in the Bible, but today are in the shadow of the Bible. In fact, we might rightly say Western civilization has devolved such that we don't recognize that our civilization is founded and grounded in essential Christian doctrine, but we now have moved away from the moorings. As a result of that, I have put together not only a little booklet, but a memorable flip chart. It's laminated, it's memorable, and it uses the acronym doctrine to codify the essentials of the historic Christian faith, so that you can not only have them in a flip chart, but ultimately inscribe them upon the tablet of your consciousness, starting with the deity of Jesus Christ, which is the D in doctrine, which is the most foundational thing you can learn. It's the mother of all questions. Jesus Christ himself identified it as such. Who do you say that I am? To understand just how important this is, just think about what the Muslim would answer. He would say, well, you might be a prophet, but you are not God in human flesh. In fact, to say so is the unforgivable sin of shirk. They would say, the notion that you rose from the dead is false. In fact, the notion that you were crucified is false. The Mormon, if you ask the Mormon who Jesus Christ is, they'll tell you that he is your elder brother. Indeed, he is the spiritual brother of Satan or Lucifer. If you ask the Jehovah's Witness, he'll say Jesus is the Archangel Michael. If you ask a garden variety pagan, they'll oftentimes tell you, well, Jesus was a good teacher. He'd say, well, was he God? No, of course he wasn't God. If you ask a New Ager or a metaphysical practitioner, they'll tell you that Jesus was an avatar, he was a messenger, but certainly not God. So essential Christian doctrine is hugely important. You ask some TV evangelist today, Creflo Dollar, who Jesus Christ is. He will mock the notion that Jesus Christ was divine during his earthly sojourn. He'll say that's the false teaching of religion, and then he'll try to clarify that false teaching. So both in the kingdom of the cults, the world of the occult, and in aberrant Christian theologies, this essential of the historic Christian faith is not only compromised and confused, it's outright contradicted. Again, that's why I've produced Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you don't have it, get it for your gift of any amount to the ministry. I'll send it out to you. Because the importance of essential Christian doctrine, just as Ken has pointed out, can't be overstated. These are the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. This is the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. Just as the North Star is an unchanging reference point by which sailors safely guided their ships, so essential Christian doctrine has safely guided the Christian church through the doctrinal storms that have sought to sink it. Essential Christian doctrine, in fact, is the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests, from his deity to the eschatological certainty that he will appear a second time, just as we talked about on the broadcast today, to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. Again, to internalize what you believe, I've organized the main and plain things of Scripture around the memorable acronym doctrine, and to master why you believe what you believe, I've organized the supporting evidence into easy-to-assimilate bullet points. Again, all available in a laminated 4x6 flip chart that you put in your pocket or your purse. Order on equip.org, the website. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging, please be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, you can dial for the next hour, and I'll try answering your question during the next hour when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Just call that number for the next hour, and I'll be answering your questions. We'll play that on a future edition.
Thanks for joining us for The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. On today's broadcast, we've mentioned several resources that will help equip you to defend the faith. To order products or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.